All right, what's up, and welcome back for another episode of Cognizant and Cognizance, the podcast born out of recognizing the importance of the second stage of the mastery process, conscious incompetence. This is your host, Jim Perro, speaking, and every week I add a new chapter onto the anthological discussion on life, taking action, and the value of conscious thought. Join me and the occasional guest for a head-in-the-clouds perspective on how to stay grounded and win in all that you do. Enjoy! Saddle here, Wednesday, July 17th. I'm having a good day, about to have a good night, and by have a good night, I mean finish an episode of American Dad, read like 40 or 50 pages, and go to sleep. That's what I'm talking about, because I had a nice long day today of doing absolutely nothing. Worked for like 3 hours today because I'm still in the learning cycle, had a couple meetings, you know, a grand old time, as it were. And but anyway, today was not a total loss because I'm going to share, there was two things I wanted to share that I learned today. I will think of the other one at some point, but something that I learned today that actually kind of freaks me out while I'm doing this. I'm going to pull my Twitter up because I need to get the exact language of this, but I'm sure by now you have discovered what FaceApp is. Pretty much everybody and their mother is out here making themselves an old person. And so today, what I actually learned, I learned a little bit about the terms of service of, here they are, the terms of service of FaceApp. And if you're, you know, if you follow my Twitter account, at Paharomes, you should follow that. P-A-J-A-R-O-M-E-S. And then also the one for this podcast, C in Cognizance, C-I-N-C-O-G-N-I-Z-A-N-C-E. Anyway, shameless plugs. If you follow me on Twitter, then you probably saw me tweet this out to a guy. So I learned two things about FaceApp today. One of them, which I'm sure plenty of people have probably figured this out by now too, but one of those things is that it's a Russian-owned application. So the owner of FaceApp, or I suppose the person who, maybe they own the creator? I don't know. But anyway, the company that is listed in the bio or whatever of the app as the owner is Wireless Lab 000 in St. Petersburg, Russia. So I learned that about FaceApp today, and then I saw this on Twitter, of course, and so, I saw this on Reddit and then put it on Twitter. I didn't credit the Reddit person because I can't find the thread now. But anyway, so, something scary that I learned about the terms of service with FaceApp. I'm not necessarily a conspiracy theory, but this is owned by Russia and a sensation in America. That's step one, or strike one for me. Now, here's strike two. In the terms of service in the user content section, I will read you directly what it says. You grant FaceApp a perpetual, irrevocable, non-exclusive, royalty-free, worldwide, fully paid, transferable, sub-licensable license to use, reproduce, modify, adapt, publish, translate, create derivative works from, distribute, publicly perform, and display your user content at any name, username, or likeness provided in connection with your user content in all media formats and channels now known or later developed without compensation to you. Whew. And that is all one sentence. So basically what this says is we, the Russian-owned company, are now claiming your pictures, both the original that goes into the app when you, if you take it through the app, and the output of those pictures, whether you make yourself old or young or add a beard or change your smile or add a haircut, we now own that likeness of you. And we could do whatever we want with it. We can sell it. We can post it. We can make another picture out of it. We can do whatever we want with that. And so that kind of freaked me out. That is what I learned today. And the other thing that I learned was so much more interesting, but I totally forgot what it was. Back to the normal script here. I am still doing the Daily Stoic Challenge that will be going on every day for the rest of the month. Recorded last week, and that was on Wednesday too, Wednesday the 11th, I was at day 3, which, if I'm not mistaken, was pick a daily outfit. And so that's not necessarily going so well, that particular part of the challenge, because I can work from home now that I have Wi-Fi set up in my house. So I'm just like, I don't have to have, I mean, I could sit there in my boxers and drink a beer if I wanted to, as long as I'm doing shit. But I guess when I go into the office, if it's required or if I just feel like it, I have the same thing. When I say khakis and a pastel colored shirt. Whoopty freaking do, right? So since then, we've had 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 days. And then leading up to today, today's day 10 of the challenge. So I'm not going to read you through all of these because I don't want to give away the challenge for anyone who decides to do this at a later date. Hint, hint, Joey Graham, hint, hint, do it. But I will read you what the tasks were. And this doesn't truly give anything away because there's so much more content that comes along with these tasks. There's like a fucking 3 scrolls worth of an email, YouTube videos that get disseminated, Slack channel, which I had a great conversation in the Slack channel today with some people. But anyway, so day 4, that was last Thursday the 12th. The challenge for day 4 was to go the entire day without complaining. And that goes for in your head too. And that was basically along the lines of, you know, complaining is for losers. And this is, I think, you know, I complain about shit all the time and I really shouldn't. And so that was kind of just a reminder. Every one of these is a freaking reminder, right? It's exactly what we're doing. That's exactly what I'm doing it for, is to remind myself and to kind of kick myself into a gear of mindfulness and thinking about actually my actions and, you know, where those actions are going or taking me and what impact they have. Any hoozles. So day 5 was go on a staycation. Really just about appreciating the things that your local community, your local area or city has to offer. Day 6 was go the entire day without your phone, which I didn't quite do that, but it was really, really easy that day. Like, I barely used my phone that day. I was golfing all morning, and then I was at my buddy's house at, like, a pre-birthday barbecue and everything. So we were in the pool playing lawn games, drinking, playing cards, all this sort of stuff. And I just didn't really feel the need to look at my phone. So technically, I didn't go without it for the whole day, but whatever. So day 7 was write 3 thank you letters, and don't send them. You can send them if you want, but you don't send them. So I chose not to send 2 out of the 3, and then I gave the 3rd to someone in person. So that's day 7. That was Sunday. Day 8 was do your maximum amount of push-ups, pull-ups, sit-ups, squats, whatever. Rest for a minute and try it again. Inspired by David Goggins, who is the supposed toughest man alive. I don't doubt that one bit if you know who David Goggins is. But yeah, so that was day 8, and I was perfect with my workout that day. So sweet. I ended up doing, I think I did 91 push-ups. Phone on me. Oh yeah, I do. Let's see what I did that day. I'm not bragging because I brag about enough in my life. I don't need to brag about this shit, too. It's actually not even that impressive. Let's take a look. What did I get yesterday? So I did 48 pull-ups, 91 push-ups, 55 sit-ups, 96 lunges between both legs, and 61 goblet squats in about 45 minutes, I think. So that was my cardio yesterday, and it was painful. And those numbers were a circuit based on the half. So I did my maximum for each of those things. Goblet squats with 40 pounds, lunges with 40 pounds, just regular crunches on a bench or sit-ups, just regular push-ups, and then pull-ups. So I did my max for each of those, cut it in half, and then did pyramids out of those. So that was fun. That's a great one. And that's just like a great cardio day, just happened to fall on that day. So yesterday, day 9, was read a fiction book, or a book of, it says a work of fiction, that's what it actually said, but, so I didn't actually do that yet, but I did order one on Amazon for Prime Day. What up? Spent like too much money on my Amazon Prime Day shit, but I did get, oh, that's the thing that I learned. I learned a bunch of new recipes because I just bought an Instant Pot with a steamer basket. So I learned like a shit ton of new recipes, and I'm going to try the Thai pulled pork lettuce wraps when my Instant Pot gets here. So, woo, that's pretty sweet. So day 9, that was read a work of fiction. And I am going with a recommendation from the man himself, Ryan Holiday, to read a book called The Moviegoer by Walker Percy, who I've never read it. I've actually always wanted to read a Walker Percy book. He is one of the prominent modern stoic personalities, I guess you could say. And I have never read a Walker Percy book. I kind of forget about, forget Walker Percy even exists, but he recommended that The Moviegoer was a great book of fiction. And so yeah, that is going to be here on Friday, so I'm going to start that this weekend. So I kind of half-assed day 9, and then day 10, reach out to someone you admire. That was today. And so what I did today, I did a little email hunting. I found the email for a couple people in the community. One person who people that I've seen organizing stuff, one of the people that works for the Rock City Rotary, and then I sent an email to I sent another email to this other person, actually the person that came around organizing the part of the Rochester Pride Parade. There's like a Pride Festival going on Saturday afternoon, and so I emailed that person. I forget what her name is off the top of my head. I just have her card and the paper she gave out, but she was out there pounding the pavement over the weekend in like 90 degree heat, and to get the word out and invite people from the neighborhood to the parade and then the subsequent little festival. So I thought that was really cool. So I sent her a little email saying, thanks for dropping by. Great. So, kind of enough about me, right? You know, this, who the hell wants to listen to me talk forever? So today I had an inspiring conversation, and it goes along with, that was this morning after I had, actually, no, I hadn't read the Daily Stoic entry that yet today, which the entry for today is about, it's about not abandoning other people and not abandoning yourself as you progress through life and as you make progress and improve as a person. And so I kind of wish I had read that before I had this conversation, but I mentioned that there's a Slack group that I'm a part of, which is Slack, the application, not a group of Slackers, although I would be probably the leader of that group, I would imagine. But so this, the title of today's episode and kind of the topic that I'm going to be on for probably another Sorry, I'm playing with the pens and markers in the metal cup by my desk. Stop it. So the kind of the topic that I want to talk about a little bit today is ambition, progress, and hopelessness. The kind of the relationship between those three things, which, I mean, you know, ambition and progress, sure, related, but how the hell does hopelessness fit in there, right? And so after having this conversation in the Slack group, getting some, you know, some people talking about it with me, getting some input from other people, like if they, you know, they have a, you know, advice for this person is essentially what it was. She was asking us for advice, name redacted, was asking for advice. We'll call her Jane Doe, I guess, because why not? You know, sitting in my bed around like 6:30, 6:45 this morning, and I open up Slack just to see what everybody's talking about the daily challenge, you know, getting into that. I just read the email and all that good shit, right? So, in the Daily Stoic Slack group, she posted, like, right when she woke up, I would hope, because it was pretty early this morning, she said, "What if I'm not ambitious and I don't want to change the world? I am really struggling with that lately." And I get come through conversation, come to find out, this girl was feeling really hopeless because, you know, she's just discouraged because she sees on social media and in the news and just people in general, she sees so many people around her trying to make a difference. Excuse me. In the world, and she just doesn't have the ambition to do that. She was being honest, doesn't really care about making the world better, at least not currently. She doesn't have the ambition to go out and start a nonprofit or, you know, help disadvantaged people, help refugees get to a new country, like any of that. She has no ambition to make the world a better place. And she's struggling with that because, you know, she's probably not a bad person. She just, that's how she's feeling. So again, she was being honest, but she was in kind of an unfortunate position. And, you know, just feeling hopeless. And that hopelessness was, this part I'm assuming, but if she's feeling hopeless, that hopelessness is probably seeping into her personal life, which is, you know, stalling progress. You know, stalling what she can actually do. And so I paraphrased her. I'm gonna paraphrase the sentiments of myself, not just myself, but all the other people in there who, you know, agreed or had said something before I said something. Pretty much all the responses were right in the same vein. And you know, I find myself not, I can't remember the last time I felt legitimately hopeless, but I do kind of feel some kinship with this girl, Jane. I do kind of feel some kinship with Jane in the sense that, you know, what she was talking about. It's tough seeing all these people on social media and, you know, in the news constantly, like, doing cool things for the world and for their community and giving back. And it's hard to reconcile with not having the ambition to change the world or to do good for your, you know, for the people that you care about. It's hard to reconcile not having that ambition with not being a good person, you know? And I think that feeling, that struggle that she's having, it's getting crazily exacerbated, I guess would be the best word. It's getting exacerbated in a really big way by all these people that are in the media and just advertising, you know, whether it's their causes or their efforts or both. And so this is essentially what I said to her, that, you know, social media is not real life. It's not real. And that internal struggle that you're having, which I admit I have sometimes, isn't quote unquote real, because it's brought on by the unrealistic expectations of how your day ought to be spent, how your life ought to be spent. It's real in the sense that, you know, she feels the struggle. It's real in the sense that I feel the struggle and you feel the struggle sometimes when expectations are so high and you're not sure if you can or even want to meet them. We've all been there, right? But It's one thing when those expectations are brought on by, you know, a job, or they're brought on by, you know, the requirements of you to that you have to meet to live and exist. But these quote-unquote expectations are being brought on by social media. And guess what happens on social media? Everyone else, like I talked about last week, is always telling these little lies anyways to kind of make their life seem better or cooler or more meaningful than it really is. Now, that sounds a little cynical, like I'm sure I did last week when I was ranting about it, but at the end of the day, we all tell ourselves little lies. It goes without saying that we're going to tell other people little lies in the sense that, you know, oh, I did this much for my community today. We all have that in that initial base tendency to kind of get the validation from other people and get however much of it we possibly can. And so those unrealistic expectations of how her life ought to be spent and what her mission should be, those are getting puffed up by social media. And this was my secondary advice too, and this is advice that I haven't taken for myself up until the last few months, is to do what's challenging and enjoyable to you and do what helps you improve. You know, worry about what's happening in your own world and in your own sphere of control, and the rest of the world will align itself around you. You know, when you figure out your own path and you have your course charted, so to speak. I think it was either Seneca or Epictetus that said, the man who knows not to which harbor he sails has no direction at all, some shit like that. Or it's something like that. Once you have that path charted and, you know, or that course charted, you're on your path. All you have to do is follow the path. And, you know, as much of a cliche as it sounds, you know, have to pardon it, but it's so relevant. You can't change the world until you change yourself first. And I think that feeling of hopelessness, like I said earlier, was seeping into her personal life because she doesn't necessarily care about changing the world or have the, maybe she does care, but doesn't have the wherewithal to make it happen, or doesn't feel like she does. So she's feeling hopeless about the state of the world, right? Knows things need to be changed, doesn't have the ambition to do it herself. So the hopelessness starts to seep into your personal life, because that's a really heavy feeling, right? That's a really, really heavy feeling to carry on your back, is, you know, that struggle of not knowing if you can do anything about helping the world or if you even want to, right? And so that seeps into your personal life, which now when you are trying to make something happen for yourself, you're trying to get better, do better, be better, now that hopelessness is keeping you from making your own personal progress. And now you're not making any progress in making yourself better. So now you start to feel hopeless about that. And then the more hopeless you feel, the less ambition you have to pull yourself up, I hate this phrase, but by the bootstraps, essentially. So it ends up becoming this vicious cycle of, you know, dissatisfaction with the world, but not knowing what you can do or if you can do anything or how to change it. Hopelessness spirals into stalling your own growth, which then takes away your ambition to continue to get better. And so on the flip side of that coin, you know, once you have mastered, or maybe not even mastered, once you have actually found that ambition, whether it's to change the world or change yourself or one or both or neither, once you have found ambition in general, the ambition is what you need to start the snowball, right? If you have ambition and you have the drive that you need to pick yourself up, then you can pick yourself up out of your rut, right? And when you're at the top of the hill, all you can do is see the way down. The only way to go is down into the deepest depths of yourself or the world, whichever one you're trying to change first, hopefully yourself. And so progress is now the path. And so the Daily Stoic entry for today was centered around progress specifically, and ambition. And so I will get that one out for you now here. Sorry, bring this around. And so again, this is centered around progress and what to do while you're making progress and while you're on that path to that ambitious path out of hopelessness, out of the realm of hopelessness. So today, again, July 17th, the month of July is centered around the concept of duty. And so today's entry is centered around the duty that you have to yourself and to others in the midst of progress. And I got a kind of a long quote from Marcus Aurelius, his Meditations here. This is deep into the letters too. Here we go. As you move forward along the path of reason, people will stand in your way. They will never be able to keep you from doing what's sound, so don't let them knock out your goodwill for them. Keep a steady watch on both fronts, not only for well-based judgments and actions, but also for gentleness with those who would obstruct your path or create other difficulties. For getting angry is also a weakness, just as much as abandoning the task or surrendering under panic. For doing either is an equal desertion, the one by shrinking back and the other by estrangement from family and friend. And then we had a short little passage that follows from Hanselman and Holiday. As we begin to make progress in our lives, we'll encounter the limitations of the people around us. It's like a diet. When everyone is eating unhealthy, there's a kind of natural alignment. But if one person starts eating healthy, suddenly there are opposing agendas at play. Now there's an argument about where to go for dinner. Just as you must not abandon your new path simply because other people may have a problem with it, you must not abandon those other folks either. Do not simply write them off or leave them in the dust. Don't get mad or fight with them. After all, they're only at the same place you were not too long ago. Right, so little bit of passage centered around progress and what you can do when you're making progress, and I guess conversely, what not to do if you aren't making progress and you see somebody making progress. Don't drag people down, and if you're the one being dragged down, don't kick until they fall off. Just recognize, you know, you have the duty to maintain that relationship and kindness towards other human beings, even when, and sometimes especially given the circumstance, when they have different opinions or they make different life choices than you. You know, progressing past yourself always creates these barriers and these obstacles, or past your former self. It creates barriers and obstacles, barriers between you and people who knew you as your former self, and obstacles, they may unintentionally or intentionally throw those obstacles in your path. And this goes for just about, you know, any lifestyle change, whether it's personal philosophy, you know, your habits, you don't want to drink as much, you don't want to, you know, smoke pot or do drugs anymore, you don't want to eat poorly anymore, maybe you'd rather work out than laze around, or you'd rather be lazy instead of going to work or working out, you know, you change your perspective, you have new information, and you now have different worldviews as a result. Like I said, any lifestyle change is going to present the chance for differences in opinion and, you know, in these so-called arguments about where to go for dinner, right? And so I guess in the face of that, we each have a couple of options. You know, we have the obvious option that would probably be easier, admittedly, to excuse me, it probably would be easier to just say to, you know, to people that maybe don't agree with your new lifestyle, or they don't agree with your choices that you're making on your path to progress, you know, it'd be much easier than anything else to just say, all right, well, screw you then, man, I'm out, and you're out too, see ya, number deleted, block, take them off social media, they're just gone. But, you know, you break the ties, and then that person's gone from your life, and you did it all over what? You did it all over, you know, maybe a bit of an overreaction on your part. So that's option one. That's option two. Or that's option one. Now, option two is obviously much less harsh and much more difficult on you, which is, I guess, kind of the test of the iron will, is to be able to recognize the differences that are now being created between you and the people who've grown used to your former self. And excuse me, you can either squabble over those differences between you and these people, or you can recognize that those differences and those arguments or those uncomfortable conversations, those are simply a marker in history and in your own consciousness of where you were and where you've been and where you've come from. And obviously based on that, you know, that quote, that passage, and based on, you know, what I'm saying to you now, I plan to do, and I want to do this, and Marcus Aurelius wants us to do this, is to recognize that the difference is there, recognize that the difference is important, and recognize the similarities that still remain so that you can maintain the relationship. And, you know, I guess if all else fails and that doesn't work out for you and it's irreconcilable, then yeah, cut ties. But at the end of the day, we all have a duty to not abandon ourselves, not to abandon our own road to progress or our own path to progress because we hit a few speed bumps, and we have a duty to the people around us, the people who love us and care about us, to not abandon them just because they may not understand our choices. And so with that, I am out. I will be back in a week. And do I have any other announcements? No, I think I'm good. Oh, yeah. Can't wait for that instant pot. And yeah, I'm out. Have a good weekend.